Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our expository study of the Gospel of Luke with this message titled, The Humility and Example of Mary, Luke chapter 1, verses 35 through 38. Mary has been practically shunned by many evangelicals and fundamentalists, not for anything that she did, but because of the Mariolatry among Roman Catholics and the growing number of Orthodox, Protestants, and even those in the New Age cults and in Islam. But the biblical Mary has nothing to do with these heresies or any of the false cults. And as we will see in this study, she was a sinner saved by her faith in the Word of God. Her life is a demonstration of biblical Christianity to be followed, but she would have nothing to do with the idea of prayers to her, prayers in her name, or any other idolatrous act of worship not directly or directed toward our triune God in Jesus' name. Any questions, comments, or prayer requests you have can be sent to us by email. Send those to bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send them through the U.S. Postal System. And if you would like to include any check or money order, please address those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. Or you can also donate at our website, bbfohio.com, using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen, or use the drop-down menu if you're using our mobile site at bbfohio.com. Now we begin our study titled The Humility and Example of Mary, Luke chapter 1, verses 35 through 38. This is part 1 of 2. All right. Get into our study after our current events update. Just going to take a minute to take a glance at what it means to be a Christian around our world today. Keep you current on what's going on with Christians around the world. From Breitbart, they have this story. Germany sees 30 anti-Christian attacks in 2 months. And of course, most of those, if not all of them, are Muslim attacks on Christian churches. And by the way, if you see something, and they is someone who's Islamic or someone who's atheist or whatever, and they attack a Catholic church, just understand they don't make a difference between you and me and the Catholic Church. To them, it's just Christian, and therefore they are violent. That's what John Kasich, the former governor of Ohio, and other rhinos and progressive Democrats, liberals, that's what they're bringing to America. It's going to be here at some point. Yeah. They're bringing in Muslims, and if they're Muslims and they really believe in Islam, then they will want to burn your churches. Yeah. There are Muslims who are not real, like, Quranic, serious Muslims, but even they and their children can be radicalized, as they like to call it. When they say that, what they mean is they've gone back to being real Muslims. Yeah. And, well, London. They've suffered arson attacks marked with 666 and pentagrams. So they've got a problem with Muslims, but they've also got a problem with the far out, they call them right, but they're not, but the Nazis and the, you know, that kind of group. And sometimes these groups will put certain things on churches to make it look like somebody else did it. Yeah. Then Pompeo says in the 2018 Religious Freedom Report finds extreme hostility to all faiths in China. And so if you're a Christian in China right now, you're under severe persecution. If you have a meeting in your house and they find out about it and you didn't register, and you're not part of the three self church or whatever they call that, they just bulldoze your house. So you're homeless. Hail Satan prayer at Alaska government meeting sparks outrage. Some may argue, well, that's free speech. Yeah, it is. But it just tells you what is happening. that the Satanists in this country are a growing, outspoken number, and they're beginning to demand their rights. And so it is a picture of, yes, it's like Stephen was talking earlier, America is not a Christian nation. No. Our Constitution and our Bill of Rights are not Christian-based, or not Christian-oriented, although we do argue that things like the freedom of speech and freedom of expression, those are Baptist principles. And biblical principles. But because it's secular or it's not atheistic or anti-theistic, it's just secular. So it's, in other words, you have your rights, but everybody, if you want to start a religion, you know, like L. Ron Hubbard did, you know, you're free to do that. And so more and more of these anti-Christian religions are going to take their place, just like we have more Muslims now in elected office than at ever any point in this country's history. Yeah. Well, if Kasich and his friends keep bringing them in, and they concentrate them in areas where they can elect their representative instead of spreading them out, and so that's what happens. Yeah. Madonna says Jesus would agree with having women having abortions. There are a growing number of professing Christian women who agree with her because they're in Laodicean apostate churches and they're not taught the truth, or they just reject the Bible out of hand. But a growing percentage of those who claim to be evangelical or born again don't believe the Bible, not only King James. They don't believe any Bible is infallible word of God. They don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. Therefore, they're not Christians. Amen. They're Christian in name only. Sinos.
Just one question with Madonna. Did she switch from Kabbalah to Christianity?
No. No, she's... Well, yeah, that's a good point. But it's just... She believes, like a lot of professing Christians who are what they call allies of the LGBT movement, that she understands Christianity better than you do and better than I do. Then we have bombers target a church in Sweden for the second time. So just pay attention to all these different countries. These are all headlines this week. Bombers target a church in Sweden for the second time. And, well, Sweden's big problem is, again, bringing in the Muslim, you know.
How's this target? Did it actually explode? Like the bomb or what?
The first time, I think, I don't know the exact details. I didn't want to get lost in that. The Supreme Court hands Christian Bakers a win in same-sex case, vacates lower court. So that's good news, right? But you still see people being taken to the Supreme Court. That's the point. And one of them, I think, Jack Phillips, is... Back in, I think it was Jack or one of the... No, it was the other couple. There was another couple. They're now facing civil lawsuits. Again, in China. China forces churches to sing songs praising the communist regime. The bomb did go off.
I could do it if we could make it sarcastic somehow.
I mean, we would be singing it sarcastic.
Like and then they'll shoot you. Another couple more headlines and we'll move on. I just want to show you this. This is another country. Different place, every headline. 15-year-old Christian girl kidnapped, raped by 5 Muslim men in Pakistan. That's the 28th, I believe, in just a month or two. Where the Muslim men are just grabbing Christian women, gang raping them, and then some of them they kill. Some of them, this guy returned the girl and he was seen fleeing. And so I think they caught him. So my point isn't just government. I'm just talking about the reality. Whether it's a government or a just people doing this, this is what it's like to be a Christian around the world. A Coptic Christian arrested for allegedly insulting Islam on Facebook in Egypt. Well, it won't be long where they're going to be arresting Americans. called hate crimes, hate speech. Well, just keep in mind the definition of hate speech is speech that liberals hate, which is a wide variety of things. And the last one here, Muslim father ready to go to jail over Christian daughter's conversion. Why? Because he's trying to kill her in Ghana. And all over the world, if Muslim women aren't the only one, men or women, if they convert, then the true Islamic faith says they should die. And if they aren't killing you, that means they're not following Muhammad's example and they're not following the Sharia law. And you do your research and you'll find out that wherever Muslims become a sizable minority, then they start to use your laws against you, cause chaos, etc., until they finally are a majority. And once they're a majority, then you become enslaved. And you pay the jizya tax just for the right to live. And you are subject to their laws of Sharia. So that's just what it means right now. And that's about 1% of what's going on in our world today related to Christians and how they're being treated. So we can't go on and on about it because we've got to get in the Bible study. We're getting late. But know this, it says this, know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. You're there. And it's just getting darker and getting worse and worse. And so people don't like to hear that, so they'll go to churches like Joel Osteen's where he'll tell them otherwise. And they'll pretend they don't see what they see on the news, and they don't see. And my positive word to you is that right there is proof that you've got the right book and you've got the right God. If your God is all positive and telling you how wonderful things are going to get, he's Lucifer. He's a liar. The true God has warned you ahead of time, this is where we're going. And so, just by looking at the headlines, it's also a reminder to pray for the persecuted church. Amen. Pray for these people. And they're real people. Their suffering is real. And so, keep all that in mind as we get into our Bible study. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for having a group of people to meet with, to open this book. We thank you for the study we had in the previous hour. And we thank you for so much Bible teaching over the years. Sound Bible teaching from the right book. We thank you for all that you provided us so we can continue to learn and grow. All of these books in the bookcase, all of these videos, and these pamphlets and these gospel tracts themselves have a lot of Bible in them. And we can just talk about Jesus and talk about your word with people who love you and love your word. And we just thank you, Lord, and ask you to guide us in our study. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, we're in Luke chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 35. And we're going to read through verse 38. The humility and example of Mary. Now, let's start by saying this, that because of the cults and heretics and extremes and such, Bible believers have been scared away from teaching things and saying things. And because of the Roman Catholic Mariolatry, non-Catholics have very often, they just skip by what we know about Mary, and they don't talk about her. We talked about Wednesday, we talked about predestination, and because of the fatalistic, Calvinistic, Augustinian perversions of that doctrine, people stay away from it. They don't want to talk about it. We believe in predestination, but we believe what the Bible teaches about it, and if you don't know what we mean, then go watch Wednesday night's study. And, you know, phrases like, filled with the Holy Ghost. You hardly ever hear that. It's biblical. Amen. Paul said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. All of us should be Spirit-filled Christians. But people shied away from it because as soon as you say that, a lot of people think you're talking about speaking in tongues or the charismatic thing. And, well, when it comes to Mary, I've tried to emphasize from time to time whenever the subject comes up that you shouldn't be afraid of Mary. The biblical one is a wonderful example. Her humility, her faith. We're going to see a little bit of that this week, and then we're going to get into another study next week. Beginning of verse 35, let's go ahead and read 35 through 38, and I'll read the odd, and you jump in on those even verses. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." Now go ahead and read 36 through 38 with me, all three of these. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." Amen. God's people say amen.
Amen.
So we started with verse 35 for context. We talked about that last week. Mary has just been informed that as a virgin, she will carry the Son of God in her womb. We talked about that, but we could talk that one for, you know, ever. That's the mystery of the incarnation. And it's just an amazing thing. You know, we've been blessed with our two little grandbabies, Ezra. I got to hold him, I think, the next day or 2 days after he's born. How was it, a couple days? You know, brand spanking new, you know. Just didn't know. And then the next day after Rebecca,
she was 6 hours
old when we got to hold her, yeah. Brand spanking new, holding a little baby. And I just always, even, you know, when Mariah, who was born a little over 26 years ago, and held that little baby, and I talked to her a lot before she came out of the womb, so she knew my voice. And holding her and looking this, I couldn't believe that. How Ezra and Rebecca were the same way, just wide-eyed and looking at you. And I just, every time I hold a baby, I can't help it. I always think of the fact that Jesus did that. Mm-hmm. Jesus became that little baby. And when I see, you know, when Mariah's carrying Gloria and Olivia's come, sat in that chair carrying Ezra, and I'd see Lori and just think of Mary. I just always think of Mary carrying Jesus just like that. So once that matter is explained, she, Mary, is told what we read in verse 36. So it's kind of like, I can't speak for Mary, but my mind would be blown with what I was told. And then verse 36, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age." Now, keep in mind that in her old age. Mary was a young thing. Elizabeth was an old lady. And she's 6 months along when Mary's having this conversation. Oh, by the way, it's with an angel named Gabriel. And don't miss that last phrase either. Who was called barren. She had stopped her menstrual cycle. She had stopped even having a physical, natural hope of being able to conceive and have a child. Now, there have been women, I met a couple of them, who went through that and thought they would never have a child. So, of course, no more birth control or anything like that. And then surprise, surprise, surprise. And, huh? Change of life babies. And wasn't the Ballards, wasn't that how what they, and she called him her miracle baby, you know. And it's just an amazing thing that Elizabeth had to go through, had what she experienced. And both of these conceptions are miraculous. We talked about this, that it's not the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception is a false teaching of the Roman Church about Mary being born without original sin. But these are miraculous. An old lady who is beyond, she's barren, and yet she becomes pregnant. And Mary, who is not engaged in any sexual activity, a virgin, young lady, but no way to get pregnant naturally. And that's why I love this definition that in Webster's 1828 about miraculous, because they use that word wrongly all the time. Again, just like we were talking about, everything's a miracle. And and some people, they're not trying to be abusive to the text or anything, but they just use it so loosely. They take a bite of a donut and say, oh, this is just miraculous. like it's a donut. But that's how people throw that word around. It's like the word awesome. Oh, I love fried pickles. They're awesome. You're losing the word. God is awesome. And he's no comparison to a fried pickle. So the word miraculous is defined performed supernaturally. In other words, it's not by natural processes. Or by a power beyond the ordinary agency of natural laws. Effected by the direct agency of almighty power and not by natural causes, as the miraculous healing of the sick or raising of the dead by Christ. That's not in your new dictionaries. But that's the way they defined it in 1828. And this was the standard dictionary for a good number of years. And if you experience something that is not explained in natural terms, then it's a candidate for a real miracle. There are things that we describe as miraculous, but there's explanations for it. This, what we're talking about, there is no explanation for this. For either one of these ladies becoming impregnated. So we believe in God, therefore we believe in miracles. Now folks, a lot of the people who think you're a cuckoo for being a Bible-believing Christian, they think so because you believe in miracles. You believe in things like creation. That it wasn't just some natural thing that happened billions of years ago when there was nothing and suddenly it exploded. That you believe there was a God who created. You believe, Bible believers believe that Moses parted the Red Sea and not the Sea of Reeds. And they can't win that one because even if it was this deep, it's still a miracle because God drowned their Pharaoh's army in water that deep. See? And Jonah. People say, well, it was a great fish. Jesus said it's a whale. I believe it. I don't have a problem with God making a whale swallow a man, spit him back up. Yeah, Jesus says well. So there's the story of the little old lady on the airplane and she's reading her Bible and an atheistic man sits down next to her and says, you believe everything in that book? She goes, well, yes, I do. And he says, well, you believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale? And she says, yes, I do. And one of these days, we'll get to heaven. We'll find out all the answers to any questions we have. She said, I believe this book. And he goes, what if you get to heaven and find out Jonah wasn't swallowed by a whale? She says, I'm messing my own joke up. She says, well, what if you get to heaven and Jonah's not there? And he says, well, then you ask him. See? But that's what it means if you don't believe the Bible. I've heard people say, well, they don't believe the Bible, but I think they're saved. It's not possible. You have to believe that God is in the miracle-working business or you can't be a Christian. You have to believe that Jesus was born of a virgin, as we said in our last study. If not, he's a sinner who needed saved just like you and I. And you have to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. But you have to be a Trinitarian because the Bible also says Jesus raised himself from the dead. It also says the Holy Ghost raised Jesus from the dead. There's the Trinity. And so you have to be a Trinitarian Christian in order to believe. Now, there, I would say this, Tracy and I were talking about this last week. There are these modalists, a lot of them are just confused. And so I think there'll be some modalists in heaven. But there'll be a lot of heresies in heaven. A modalist is somebody who denies the Trinity and they say Jesus is the Son and Jesus is the Father. He is the Holy Ghost. He just shows up here and there wherever he needs to. And he's the Father here. He's the Son here. Which doesn't make any sense because he's, you know, in the baptism waters, the Father speaks while he's in the water. So it'd be him speaking, talking to himself. And that doesn't make any sense. And then the Holy Spirit descends as a dove, you know. So there's all three. And so there's another miracle, you know. You have to believe in miracles in order to be a Bible believer, in order to be a Christian. And so this thing about Elizabeth getting pregnant, about Mary getting pregnant, we don't have any problem with that because we believe in God. We believe in miracles. Amen? Now what we don't need is any human mediator for miracles. If you want a miracle, you go to God. Amen? You go to God through Jesus and Jesus alone. You do not need me. We're happy to pray for you. If you want us to pray for you, we will pray for you. But that's not necessary for miracles. It's just not necessary. The Bible says, for there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other mediator needed. That's why you don't call me Father. You know, we don't go in a closet somewhere and you don't confess your sins to me and I try to tell you you're forgiven, you know, based on my pronouncement. That's an additional mediator that's not found in Scripture. And sadly, there's people who even put their loved ones, you know, some elder Christian kind of in between them and God. They think it's wrong. On any level, it's wrong. You go to God through Jesus Christ, who is the one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, and you don't need any of these for a miracle. You don't need a seed faith offering to a TV preacher or a radio preacher or whatever. That's not how God works, and He's not going to respond. He may even give some people who do that their miracle. He'll do it because of their prayers and their faith. And even that isn't what produces the miracle. The miracle is simply by the will of God. Okay?
So I guess, yeah, if you think you need a mediator, that's the past dispensation.
Exactly right.
In the Old Testament, there were...
Well, in our study in Exodus, you know, Moses was a mediator. He went up to the mountain and came back down. They didn't all go up by themselves, and if they tried, they'd died. But that's where being dispensational is required. You must rightly divide the word of truth. And in this dispensation, we don't have a priesthood outside of the body of Christ. We're all priests. And so we enter into the presence of God through Jesus Christ, by His blood.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.